You're listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Intern.cast show, the show where we, the hosts, much like the features that we review, have not yet graduated up to theatrical release. All the other critics out there are like Vietnamese pho or Japanese ramen. We're kind of more like cup of noodles.
Damn.
Yeah. But one day we will be less sodiumed and more...
Cambodian.
Oh, I love it. That was fucking legit. Yes, we are reviewing the Cambodian foreign film directed by an American, not Cambodian, Angelina Jolie, but the movie First They Killed My Father. And I gotta say, fucking laugh a minute. It was a riot. It was hilarious.
Honestly, like, there have been a lot of great comedies this year, but there's never been a single movie in 2017 where I just had a bigger smile on my face than in First They Killed My Father.
I mean, that moment when all the kids are crying because their dad had just died.
Oh, yeah.
And
the scene with the kids and the landmines, and it's just like, oh, is she going to get blown up? It was comedy gold.
Seriously. I mean, like, you, Laurel and Hardy, move the fuck over, you know, or just step on a landmine. You two are done.
Now it's honestly time for... Landmines are pretty fucking funny.
Right?
Yeah.
But in all seriousness, yeah, you might not want to watch this movie.
This is one of the most oppressively sad movies I've ever seen. But we're not even talking about that. Let's talk about a little bit of what's been going on recently. Because I've been out for the past week. I was at the Toronto International Film Festival, and I'm going to be posting a in-depth article on the stuff that I saw on this site, oneofus.net. Ooh. It'll probably be up by the time that this episode is up. I just have to get off my ass and write it. So I'll leave me talking about those movies to then. TJ, what have you been up to recently?
Really? You're not going to give me... Okay. If you're not going to talk about the movies, at least tell me how your trip was. What did you do? I mean, did you go with your girlfriend?
I did not go with my girlfriend. I went with a couple of my friends from a movie theater where we all worked at. And we drove up from Tennessee to Toronto. I'll cover two highlights, because that's what's really important. I saw Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, which just won the People's Choice Awards at TIFF. It's the new film by Martin McDonagh, starring Frances McDormand, Woody Harrelson, and Sam Rockwell. And I've described it like if LA Confidential was hilarious. It's a incredibly dark, twisted, convoluted in there's so many things happening at once. Tale of morality and justice and how it feels to be marginalized. It is also incredibly tragic, incredibly funny, and it's such a thrilling and well put together mystery. It is easily one of the best films this year. It's definitely going to go on to be a classic that we herald in the same way we herald movies like LA Confidential or The Usual Suspects. It's that good of a crime film.
Damn.
And the other film that I saw that I want to rave about is Guillermo del Toro's The Shape of Water.
Okay, you gotta say his name again, because... What?
Guillermo del Toro.
Oh, Guillermo.
Guillermo.
Is that how they properly say it? Are you sure about that?
I don't know. It might be a little racist.
Then why put the enunciation in it at all?
Because I don't know.
Exactly. You don't know, Davey.
I know very little things. That's actually a little fucked up. Guillermo del Toro, to say it in American, Guillermo del Toro's previous films include stuff like Pan's Labyrinth, The Devil's Backbone, and...
Bitch, everyone knows who Guillermo del Toro is.
I was just postulating for people who maybe didn't know, but never mind. His newest film, The Shape of Water, is his best film since Pan's Labyrinth. It is gorgeous, it is funny, it is tragic. It's the kind of movie that tells you every reason why you should be cynical about the world and then gives you a reason to feel hope again. It's the best kind of movie.
Wow. That sounds like a movie exactly for me.
It's so good. It is... Cool. I cried during it.
You cried during everything.
I don't cry during everything.
Did you cry during the movie we're reviewing today?
No, I did not.
Oh, heartless bitch.
I know what I am. The Shape of Water is gorgeous, and I highly recommend it for everyone who has the opportunity to see it, because it's probably going to do really poorly at the box office, because it's an R-rated,
all his movies do,
weird movie. And the same thing with Three Billboards. Those two movies are must-sees for everyone around, and I would bet a lot of money that both of them will be heavily involved in the Best Picture conversation later, or earlier next year.
Cool. I have, like, a love-hate relationship with Pan's Labyrinth. Like, obviously it's great, and I love it, right? But it was that movie came out on DVD right when I started at the video store.
Yeah.
Back when Hollywood Video was still a thing.
Oh, I
and
love
like,
Hollywood Video.
So many fucking... Hollywood Video was way better than Blockbuster.
Damn right it was.
Thank you. Thank you. But so many customers would bitch and bitch and bitch and be like, I rented this movie and it came in some yappy goo-goo language. Like,
Spanish?
I have to... Yeah. Like, and I had to put on the subtitles. I didn't pay you money to make me watch or rent a movie that I had to read. Okay, I want my money back. I'm like, it was $2. You want to bitch about $2? And it was a good movie. But
it's not just a good movie. It's in my top five of all time. I love Pan's Labyrinth. And I want to find all of those people and punch them in the face.
Well.
Like, I get very angry at people. Like, oh, I just don't watch movies with subtitles in them. Like, I'm watching a movie. I'm not supposed to read. I'm like... People like you are the reason why no one takes film seriously as an art form.
I'm going to throw Leslie under the bus here because she sat down to watch this movie with me that we're reviewing today, First They Killed My Father, and she wasn't mad that there were subtitles. She's watched plenty of movies with subtitles, but she was also, like, doing something at the same time. She was working on, like, an art project, so she couldn't exactly, like, focus on either, so...
Hence
why she's not here.
I'm only not judging Leslie because I know we've reviewed movies with subtitles with her before. So I'm just...
What?
Blame. What?
No, that was in English.
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't?
No.
No.
So I'm letting it slide, even though I'm a little pissed off. Although she did get out of watching this movie, so I kind of envy her.
What? Aw.
I mean, we'll talk about that in a little bit, or we'll talk about it right now. Is there anything else we want to cover before we hit on this movie?
Let's see. I haven't seen anything new recently. I've been so fucking busy, especially with, like, the site. I'm gonna do a shout out to some of the other interns out there. You all know who you are that have been doing a kick-ass job, and the other half of you need to fucking step up, okay? We have an editing schedule on whose turn it is to edit, and half y'all fuckers have not done anything, and it's pissing me off, because then I have to do it.
I've been busy.
You do a little bit.
I've slacked off recently, but I was doing it hard during the summer.
Sure, you do it, yeah, you do it a little bit, but specifically more like the new guys. Like, there's a bunch of new interns, and none of them have done anything.
Let's not call out the negative, to the other interns who are helping, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Davey? Meh.
I've been okay. But TJ, thank you.
But speaking of intern stuff, so I got a very funny IM message from Chris Cox the other day where he was basically saying, like, listen, I need you to go out to Scream Hollow with me in the middle of the night tonight and, like, shoot us, video record us going through a haunted house. So I guess Chris Cox had gotten, like, some premiere tickets to a local haunted house here in Texas.
Yeah.
I say local, but it was like an hour outside of town.
Yeah, it's fine.
And, you know, of course I was like, yeah, sure, I'll do it. And I brought Leslie along with me, too, because I know Chris had two cameras, and I figured, you know, more coverage. And it was a really good time. At first, it was kind of weird, because Chris gave me directions. First, he said, come over to his house, and we'll carpool there. And I kind of didn't want to do that, just because Chris's house is nowhere near my house. So I figured, like, even if I did carpool with him and we finally got back, I'd still have another hour drive across Austin to get back to my place. Yeah. So I said I'll just meet him there, and he said, okay, cool, be there at 8 or 8:30. I got there at 8:15 because I have this curse where I'm casually on time, like, with everything I do. Even when I try to be late, I'm still always the first person at the party. It's horrible. You know all those movies where the nerd shows up to the party early and they're still getting ready?
Yeah.
That's me.
Oh, no, I've definitely been that. Like, I'll either show up, like, directly on time as people are still setting up, or I'll sleep through it and then show up, like, an hour and a half late.
Well, then people need to be like, you know what? The party starts at 8, not 7.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to show up at fucking 7.
Yeah, you give me a time. Unless I have something else that I'm doing, I'm going to go there because I'm starved for attention and companionship.
But anyway, so we get there and we're just chilling out in the car. Well, anyway, we don't get there. We're driving out in the middle of buttfuck nowhere, Texas. It's late at night, right? And then Chris's directions just said, turn left when you see the hearse.
What the fuck?
So I see a car, but he, in his directions, said that the car would be brightly painted and colored and brightened up with neon lights.
Yep.
Okay. No, it was a black hearse in the middle of buttfuck nowhere, Texas, and it turned onto a dirt road.
TJ, so are you trapped in a basement somewhere with Chris holding like a chain above your head? Is this what is that movie, The Loved Ones?
Davey, stop telling my sexual fantasies. Anyway, so we get there, and as soon as we finally follow the dirt road for at least about a mile, then it opens up into a dirt parking lot where there's security, but
okay.
It's, like, still kind of shady. And then I see the area that's supposed to be the haunted house, but it's not really brightly lit, and there's not a lot of people hanging out anyway. But all the few people that are hanging out in the parking lot, I turned to Leslie, and I'm like, okay, we need to send someone our address because we're in the middle of fucking Trump country right now. Like, if any of these people know that we voted for a black man for president once upon a time, they would fucking murder us.
Jeez.
Yeah. So yeah. We sat there for about an hour because Chris was late, as he's allowed to be because it's his set. You know, if it's your set, you're allowed to be late. Sorry.
Yeah.
I've shown up late to my own sets before. Shit happens.
Yep.
But, once he got there, it actually turned out pretty cool. We got to interview some of the guys that own the land and started the haunted house company there. And, yeah, it was really cool. We got to go through some haunted houses. One thing that was really funny was, like, I don't really like haunted houses. I'm not saying I'm against haunted houses. It's just, like, I can watch any scary movie, right?
Yeah.
But it doesn't stop me from being scared when shit jumps out at me. Like, because it's
a jump.
Freaks you out. Yeah, it's a jump scare. Yeah, you know, like, and why would you like a jump scare, you know?
Because they're awesome, and they exhilarate your blood.
Well, that's actually really interesting, because that's what the guy was talking about. He was like, yeah, I was going through a depression, and this, and this, and this, and then I started a haunted house company, just because, like, it's exhilarating scaring people and being scared. You have no idea how much happier I am now in such a negative, what people would perceive as a negative environment. I was like, well, that's really cool.
So that's how I'm going to deal with it.
I mean, Leatherface was just trying to be understood, man.
Leatherface is actually the world's biggest proponent of immersion therapy. He's just like, man, you got problems? I'm just going to chase you with a chainsaw until your problems go away.
But, you know, it was actually pretty funny because I actually wasn't scared, like, at all, really, because I was filming Chris.
Yeah.
And the other, Doom podcast.
The Deliberations of Doom people?
Thank you. Yeah, the Deliberations of Doom podcast. I was filming their reaction as opposed to really being the center of it.
Yeah.
So it was kind of funny. It was like a way different experience than I'm used to at a haunted house. But one of them did really get me because I was getting some B-roll of like this animated monster.
Yeah.
This animatronic monster. And it's an animatronic monster, so I know it's going to pop out or do something or whatever, right? So I'm sitting there, and I got the camera, and I'm waiting for it to do its thing, and I'm a good, like, 5 feet away from it. I was like, all right, come on, do your thing, so I can get this shot and move on with my fucking life. And this thing popped the fuck out, and, like, it was 5 feet between me and this, where the statue was sitting, and it went 7 feet out. It knocked me on my ass.
Oh, please tell me that there's footage of that.
Well, I mean, you'll just see it's on the camera. You don't see me.
I still hope that ends up in the final video.
But I was like, oh, shit!
That's so funny.
And then I another thing is I was holding the camera not paying attention that this monster is chasing me. And I'm like, oh, and I'm running. But it's dark in this one specific part of the haunted house. And I fucking, like, I run straight into a barrel, which is, like, waist high. So my body, like, folded over the barrel and, like, spun and, like, rolled over top of it.
That's
so
hilarious.
The monster's all like, rah, rah, and then as soon as I fall, she's like,
that's awesome.
I'm like, fuck you, I'm gonna get you fired, you real character. and she was never seen again. That was pretty cool. So I guess look forward to that on the site. I don't know when it's going up. I know they have a lot more to shoot. It's probably something they're going to be doing all of October, so it's not anytime soon, but definitely follow Deliberations of Doom, because they got a lot of pretty cool stuff coming out with that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I haven't really seen anything else besides that.
Should we get into it?
One thing I do want to say that's really short is the Five and Out podcast is back on oneofus.net, which is one of my favorite podcasts ever since the merger. Like, I don't know if you listen to that show, Davey, but it's fucking awesome, and I'm so glad that it's back. They were gone for a really long time.
Yeah, I never was super into them, but I've heard that they're good, so I need to start checking them out.
Yeah, they're funny.
Awesome.
Yeah,
a lot of good oneofus.net content. And you should support that content by subscribing.
What?
Subscribe and get cool things. Much cooler than this podcast. This is the free level. If you want, like, higher quality content, hit up those subscribe buttons and you'll stop having to deal with us. Is that a good way to advertise? I'm not sure.
I don't know. It sounds like something Leslie would say, so I'm not going to support it.
Fair enough. All right.
But today we were reviewing what a long fucking title.
First,
today we're reviewing Angelina Jolie's directorial not debut.
So it's her
third second? Third?
Yeah.
Okay. What was her second?
She did From the Land of Blood and Honey, then Unbroken, then this movie, First They Killed My Father, A Daughter of Cambodia Remembers.
Yeah. So this is her Netflix debut, I guess.
Yeah, I don't yeah.
And I think me and Davey are not on the same page. I don't know. He keeps saying that we are, but I haven't heard a word about it. But real quick, the plot is basically a true story, an autobiography, or, you know,
yeah.
I was reading some stuff online, and I guess this chick that wrote the book got a lot of flack because a lot of critics were saying that she was too young to remember any of this, which
yeah.
I call bullshit. Okay.
I mean,
you remember traumatic shit. Yeah, I remember shit that was traumatic from when I was a kid.
Yeah.
None of it, which was nearly as this traumatic, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But if I remember something like, you know, my sister's beating me up, then I'm sure she remembers her family being stuck in the Cambodian, you know,
yeah.
Civil War. So basically a little history lesson is in 1970 through 1975, Cambodia went through a little civil war, which was overthrown, and the winner of that war was the rebels who started a communist regime.
The Khmer Rouge.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. It's spelled Khmer space rogue.
Yeah.
So, Khmer rogue. I wish I could pronounce it, because I feel like I should be able to, but, you know, anyway. And so, after this war, amidst the Vietnam, I don't know if it's during the Vietnam War, but at least a little bit after, where there's still kind of like some heat regarding that. So the newly established communism is basically trying what any communist regime does, which is kill anything that represents not their government.
Yeah, just destroy any semblance of Western civilization, basically.
Right. So the lead character, Lung Ung, I'm sure I'm butchering that too, and I apologize. You know, she went through a lot of trouble, and she came all this way to have me butcher her name.
Yeah.
But anyway, she is the 5-year-old, now refugee, the daughter of a government official, or an ex-government official, because the government has now been overthrown.
Yeah.
And they are on the run, posing as peasants, because if anybody finds out that he was part of the government before, they will swiftly and without question kill him.
Right.
The title of the movie is a spoiler within itself,
right.
but it's not exactly a spoiler because this movie is 2 hours and 16 minutes long, and the title, the titular action, does not happen for at least a good hour and a half.
Yeah.
So it's basically her as the, it's an autobiography of war through the eyes of a child, and that is probably the best thing going for it, is that it's very, like, it starts out so innocent, and yet we as adults watching it know the horrors that are going on, and yet through the eyes of a child, it all just seems so surreal. And how could this possibly happen?
It seems very surreal, but it also has this gritty realism to it, which I think doesn't really flow with what it's trying to do as, like, a child's perspective. But that's just me. I have a lot of feelings about this movie.
Well, why don't you start us off? What do you think?
This movie is so oppressively sad that it doesn't have any time in its bloated runtime to give us any other emotions. It's a very important movie that should have been a documentary. It has no reason to be a fiction film, I think. I think there's a brilliant documentary in here.
I think you're right. That's a very good... You know, I didn't think of it about that until you just said it, but yeah, it is kind of off-putting having such a seriously personal story, and a lot of the shots are shot like first-person. Like, in the very beginning,
yeah.
It definitely seems like it's a first-person movie. I was kind of confused at first.
Yeah, I want to talk about that, because the way that Jolie films this, because this is... I mean, Cambodia is a country that's very personal to her. I believe she's a dual citizen of both the U.S. and Cambodia. She adopted children from Cambodia. She's very active in the country and in the history. Does that mean she was the right person to tell the story? I don't know, but that's not my judgment to make. She films this movie, which is set in 1975, very modern. And that is something that kind of gets under my skin when a movie that is set in the past is filmed... has these, like, weird innovative techniques that feel very, very modern and almost like techniques that people use when they're trying to apply futuristic techniques, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the way that stuff like focus is used is reminiscent of stuff like Spike Jonze's Her, which he uses a shallow focus almost consistently so that we can feel like we're in the future. Like, this feels disjointed from the time that it's set in because of the way that Jolie decides to shoot this film. The entire way through.
Interesting. I see your point 95% of the way.
Okay.
Except for the fact with the editing. I found the editing to feel very old in that a lot of the... I know this sounds stupid for me to say, but a lot of older movies are kind of hard for me to watch just because they didn't have a lot of good editing tricks back then. And I say that in those, like, I don't know if this is a deliberate thing or not, but, like, it's set in the eyes of a 5-year-old. She's never not on camera, right? She's the entire... She it's always
her. Every scene has her in it.
Right. So, a lot of things happen that just seem kind of vague. And I think a lot of it has to do with the editing. So there's scenes where she's, like, she'll be, like, crying because she's all alone. She's lost in the jungle. And she got separated from her family.
Yeah.
And then the very next scene, she's with her family again.
Yeah.
Like, there's little things like that where it seems to have skipped, like, a scene, or it's just edited in a way where it doesn't... I mean, I don't want to see point A, point B, point C, point B, blah, 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 but I also don't want you to end it in a way where I think, oh, man, she's fucked, she's all alone in the jungle, and then not pay it off.
No, like, I get what you're saying. Like, it's a very long, complicated story, and... while we have both mentioned that it is 2 hours and 60 minutes long, this is a long movie, it's almost not long enough, you know?
Oh, I disagree with
you. Well, and this goes back to my feeling that this should have been a documentary. Like, if this was, like, a 3-part documentary on, like, a cable channel, and they just made a big thing about this person's life and had interviews and stock footage and, like, really put it together well, yeah, I could sit through, like, a good... 3-part, like, 3-hour-long episode documentary about this. Like, it's, like, a really high-quality production by, like, the History Channel or PBS. Hell yeah, I would watch this. This would be awesome.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be fun, but it would be well-crafted. And I feel like this movie... and it reminded me a lot of how I felt about The Big Short, actually. Because I feel the exact same way about that movie. Like, it doesn't technically do anything wrong.
No, it doesn't.
I think it just misses the opportunity to be great by trying to be a fiction film, and I don't think this is a story that is suited for a fiction film, at least the way they're trying to sell it. The only reason why this should be a fiction film is because that little girl is really good.
Right. Oh, yeah, she's great.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny, I don't know why I just thought about this, but you were talking about as if this... would have been better as a documentary as well as The Big Short. And that made me think of a documentary that kind of feels similar to this. And that would be Dear Zachary. Have you ever seen that?
I have not seen Dear Zachary, but I've heard so many people talk about it that I never want to watch it. Because I don't think I'll ever stop crying.
But thinking about this now, and I definitely think if Dear Zachary is ever turned into a feature film, a scripted feature film, it would not feel the same.
Yeah.
But because it's a documentary and it's filmed in a way that it makes you ask questions and makes you pose questions along the way as opposed to being spoon-fed a story.
Yeah.
It definitely has a different feel, and it hits better. And you know what? I think this definitely could use a documentary version of it. It would feel more.
Yeah,
it would hit more.
Yeah, and I mean, it is a true story. It's not like we're saying that, oh, this fiction film shouldn't have been told the way it is. I mean, they're telling a true story. From what I've seen and what I've read, it seems pretty accurate. Like, there's not a lot of big leaps in the truth.
I don't know why it wouldn't be accurate. The fact is that this girl, you know, had a family and her parents are dead now. Like, yeah. What is there to embellish?
There's really nothing to embellish.
You know what I mean? Like, if she said, if the movie had a scene where her father went down in a blaze of glory, Rambo style, yeah, that'd be bullshit. But the way the father goes is very, I mean, for lack of a better word, it's kind of boring.
Yeah.
So I don't know why anyone would call bullshit on this author, because there's not much for her to embellish. It's a very cut and dry story.
Yeah, and I'm sure that the original book that this movie is based on, the actual autobiography, is very interesting. And she co-wrote the script with Jolie for the movie.
Which is kind of funny. I don't know why Jolie would have any hand in the writing portion, but whatever.
I don't know. It feels like the only reason that this was a fiction film is because Jolie has made fiction films before.
Right, right.
And I haven't seen From the Land of Blood and Honey. I have seen Unbroken. This is a far better film than Unbroken was.
This is my first movie of hers that I've seen that she's directed.
You haven't seen Unbroken?
No, I haven't. Just because it seemed like one of those movies that would just seem a little too emotionally manipulative.
It's painfully bad.
We've talked a lot of shit of movies in the past that we find to be emotionally manipulative, and we always are like, I don't know what kind of you would ever call those movies. I finally found the term that we can use to describe those movies.
What?
The Blind Side.
Yeah.
Any movie that we, from here on out, that we refer to as blindsided someone, we're referencing something that is too emotionally manipulative, and it's made only for the sake of making your grandmother cry.
I'm totally okay with that. This movie isn't that, though.
No, not at all. I was referring to what you said about Unbroken.
Yeah, and Unbroken is a lot more like that. This movie teeters on that line a lot, though, and it gets dangerously close to being that so many times. But the movie, it's very well-intentioned. It's trying to do something. It almost feels like, did you ever see, like, the first big film Netflix put out, Beasts of No Nation?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I wasn't crazy about that movie either. I liked it more than I liked this, but I felt like the movie was, like, it had a point it was trying to make. It was trying to be very sad, very real. Yes, child soldiers are a terrible, terrible thing. There's an element of child soldiers in this movie, and it's harrowing. But,
right.
And it's not necessarily emotionally manipulative, because it's honest and raw. But it's so devoid of any emotion other than sadness and horror.
Yeah, it's definitely not anything fun to watch. It's just because an hour and a half in, you're just exhausted. You're like, okay, I don't care. I want something to smile about.
There was one moment where I smiled.
Don't spoil it. But like, just something. I just want one scene of this family. I don't know. I know they're in, they're in this refugee camp, and it'd be like, it's already horrible, and there's bad things happening all around them. But if there's just one moment where they're like, I don't know, broke out in song or played a game or like told each other a joke.
Or just something.
Something. But it's 2 hours and 16?
2 hours and 16, yeah.
2 hours and 16 minutes of nonstop sad.
Yeah, like, I'll actually compare it to another movie I saw at Toronto, going back to that for a second, The Florida Project by Sean Baker, and it's about these kids who live in motels on the outskirts of Disneyland. Like, it's a story about Florida poverty. It's not a happy movie.
That actually sounds really interesting.
It is very interesting. And the reason why that movie succeeds when Where They Kill My Father doesn't, because they're very similar style of movies, because they both follow five-year-old girls going through a very hard time in their life. Mm-hmm. The girl in First They Kill My Father had a much, much more painful life than the girl before.
Wait. Is that one with William Dafoe?
Yeah.
Oh, I want to watch the fuck out of that.
I'm really excited. It's good. I liked it. That movie, when you follow the kids, they're laughing, they're having fun. Like, this, there's the drama and the pain and the sorrow always in the background, but you kind of get lost in that at points when you start to laugh with these kids. I mean, this is a movie, Where They Killed My Father, it's a movie about five-year-olds. Five-year-olds laugh. I just wanted something to make me feel, A, like we were watching real kids, and B, like it was something to alleviate, and for lack of a better word, humanize this story. Because it feels so, so oppressively sad that it doesn't feel like my brain is rejecting it, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm sure that has a lot to do with the fact that I have never dealt with a situation this hard. And I am very lucky to have never dealt with a situation close to this difficult.
I'm going to pull the race card, and I'm such a hypocrite for doing this because I always call bullshit when people do this, but I actually did connect with it a lot more than I thought I would.
Yeah.
Only because my father, who was adopted from Thailand, he would just tell me stories about what it was like for him growing up, and it seemed very... Not that his life was anything like this,
yeah.
But more like just the culture of it, you know? Like, there's scenes where the monks, Buddhist monks, are being trekked through the forest, and everyone's going forward, and the monks are being marched backwards, which can only mean that they're being sent off to
die,
be executed. And you know what? That really hit hard for me, because, you know, even though I did not grow up, I'm a first-generation American,
yeah.
But my father still inflicted upon me stuff of his culture. And it was just, I definitely connected. And the fact that Cambodia and Thailand are very similar in terms of look and language and writing.
Yeah.
I actually, when we first put this on, I actually thought it was a movie in Thai because the dialect is very, very similar. And right off the bat, I was like, oh, I kind of know what they're saying.
Yeah.
So, you know, I actually connected with it a lot more than I thought it did, which is why it actually did hit with me. I actually, even though it lacked, you're right, it did lack some human emotions such as humor and or hope, I still felt a human story in there.
And I'm really glad that you said that, because I'm not going to deny that there is, that the disconnect that I'm having with this movie is entirely unmotivated by class, race, position in life.
I wouldn't say that. You have empathy, motherfucker.
I mean, I do have. I have empathy, but I think the movie's going to. I think the closer you are to this story, the more impactful it's going to be. Even you having a Thai heritage is much closer than. I don't know, I'm fucking Danish, I think. Like, and again, this is a very well-made movie, and maybe it's just on me for not putting in the effort to connect with it, but I shouldn't have to put in that effort, you know?
Sure, I get you.
Does that make sense? Or am I just talking
about it? No, it makes sense, totally.
Yeah.
I just wish, we're talking about how this movie was lacking some human emotions like happy, hope, or humor.
Yeah.
And this review is lacking the same shit because I don't know what there is much to say about it. Like you said, there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, I had some problems with the editing, but I think that was a deliberate choice just because, like I said, it's in the eyes of a child. So a lot of things just are vague and none of it makes sense. And it's funny because, you know, I didn't know anything about this part of history before watching this movie.
Yeah,
so during during the actual movie, I couldn't tell you who was fighting who.
Okay.
Who was right? I mean, in war, no one is ever right.
I've got the general cheat sheet. If it's after World War II, the U.S. was wrong. That's a general rule for war that I've learned.
If it's
after World War II, the U.S. is probably wrong.
Really? Because the U.S. was on this... Because now, here's a history lesson, the U.S. was on the side of the people that liberated these communists.
But wasn't accidentally bombing Cambodia the reason it started this whole thing?
Well, that's what they said in the movie. I don't know how true that is. That's what the Communist Party was telling its people in the beginning of the movie in order to motivate them out of their homes.
Okay, that is fair. I have not done a lot of research on Vietnam era.
Yeah, I don't know either. But anyway, so the point is
stupid.
No, it's not you're stupid. The point is what I'm trying to make is that the movie is very vague on in the history lesson.
That's fair.
There's a lot to be learned about this area of history, and the movie doesn't tell you at all, other than the fact that it, like, for instance, this Communist Party, Kermung, Kermung Rogue regime, they never once say the word that they are communists.
Right.
So I don't know, for all I know, they could have just been, and when you say rebels, it's kind of funny, because you think Star Wars, where the rebels are the good guys.
Yeah.
So we're kind of trained to think that if they're overthrowing the government, they're probably doing it for a pretty good reason. You know what I mean? So the fact now that they're in power, and we see through the eyes of a child that they're evil, it's very vague and confusing, and I got really lost, especially that scene towards the end when there's an actual war scene.
Yeah.
You have no idea whose side that you should be on.
Right.
Other than the fact of the kids, right?
Yeah.
Because the kids are basically caught in the middle of this firefight.
Yeah.
But it's kind of funny because you don't know who looks like who.
Right.
You know, they all kind of look the same. And I don't mean race-wise, I mean their outfits.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't know what's going on. And as powerful as it is, it kind of is a little bit, I don't want to keep saying the word vague, but it's just kind of numbing.
It loses a lot of its potential.
Luster.
Yeah.
Luster is the word I'm looking for. It loses its luster because you just don't know what you want to happen. And you know the girl's going to survive.
Right.
Because it's just, it's...
Because she wrote the book.
Didn't, right. Even if you didn't know that, it's just framed and told in a way that you know for a fact that she's going to live.
Right.
What you don't know is the rest of her family's, except for the father, because, spoiler alert, they kill her father.
Right.
But, yeah. And it's kind of funny, because the title of the book is First They Killed My Father. That's actually not even close to the first thing that happens.
Yeah, it's like 12th They Killed My Father. Yeah.
It's like, first they kicked me out of my house, and then they starved me, and then they put us into these work camps, and then they did this, and then did this, and then someone else dies that's not my father, and then my father dies.
Yeah. So although, Then They Killed My Father is a slightly less gripping title than First They Killed My Father.
Secondly, yeah. They Killed My Father.
Also, They Killed My Father.
And, Die Hard and They Killed
Die Hard. Die Hard with a They Killed My Father.
Nice.
Thank you, sir.
But it's good. You know, I see that it's going to be nominated for an Academy Award in under the Best Foreign Language Film.
Well, not nominated, but it's Cambodia's entry.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, so that means that they put the entry in, but it has yet to be selected by the Academy?
Yeah, because, it's Cambodia was like, this is the movie we're the most proud of.
Well, you know what? I haven't seen a lot of foreign films this year, but I would say this is a contender. I
think it's definitely a contender.
I think it's very good. It's very good, but I don't like it. And I don't say I don't like it in a way that, like, it was bad or I didn't enjoy it. It's just not fun. It's just not exciting. And it's not even, like... I'm struggling to talk about it because I don't want to think about it anymore, to be honest. It's sad.
I mean, it's a very sad movie that I don't feel like I don't feel it's very easy to personally connect with it. I feel like also Jolie as a filmmaker is just kind of has a knack for distancing you from the characters.
Sure.
But I think it's a movie that needs to be seen. I'm glad that it's on Netflix because I think that hopefully people can look at this film, it'll just pop up on Netflix and be like, oh, Angelina Jolie directed this, we'll watch it. Hopefully by the time they realize that it has subtitles, the remote will be too far away, so they'll say, ah, sure, why not?
And you know what? The subtitles are so minimal, because it's through a child's eyes, and I'm gonna be honest, if the movie's 2 hours and 16 minutes, there's probably like maybe 10 minutes of actual dialogue.
There's very little
dialogue. There's not a lot of talking.
Yeah.
And if there is talking, it's mostly just people saying, go over there, or go to work.
You can tell basically the whole story through the visuals, which is probably the biggest strength of the film.
Yeah, it's funny. It kind of could be a silent film.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know why they would. There's no reason to make a silent film. It'd be kind of pretentious, and it's already a borderline pretentious enough already. But it could be a silent film, because there's just no language barrier needed.
Yeah.
And
I think it's... Yeah. I'm glad that this movie exists, and I think it should be watched by people. But
I'm glad this... You're right. Yeah. I'm glad this movie exists as well, but I wanted more...
I completely agree.
In just a fulfilling moment. Like, there's more I wanted to know. I wanted to understand the history more. I didn't want any more from the actors. They did absolutely great.
Yes.
And it's funny because every time we watch a foreign film, I make fun of you because you say, well, she did really good. And I was like, well, you don't know their language. They could be butchering her lines. But because this girl spends 90% of the movie not talking, you feel everything she feels.
And it's, I mean, it is just a
wonderful. It's all not good.
Yeah, and it's not good. It's very sad. You feel everything she feels, and it's very bad.
I wonder if that was the real people at the end. I think it was, too, because after I finished watching the movie, I looked up the real girl, and it looked exactly like her. So it probably was her and her actual family.
Also, that scene was filmed so differently from the rest of the movie.
Yeah. But see, that's the thing, is that scene kind of takes me out of it and reminds me that it is a movie.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, a scripted movie, just because... It didn't really add. The one thing you look forward to in movies based on true stories is the ending where they tell you, well, what happened next and where they are now. And it doesn't really do that. And that scene, because it doesn't add anything to it, just kind of takes away from it.
Yeah.
It's kind of pointless.
Yeah.
Other than to, I guess, just throw the girl a bone and have her star and as herself. You know what I mean?
That's fair.
So yeah, you want to get in final thoughts?
I think this movie should be seen by most people who are interested in history, people who want to know more about this person's life story, about the story of what was going on in places like Cambodia during this time, because I had no idea. Mm-hmm. It's one of the best strengths of films like this, is that you can tell people about stories that they would have never heard of. That said, I do think this would have been far better as a documentary. I think Jolie is just not strong enough as a filmmaker yet. I think she's getting there. I think in a couple films she will have a really good eye for these kind of stories, but she's just not there yet. She's assembled a great cast, and it's obviously a very personal story to her and both to the subject and co-writer of the film. But I can't emotionally connect with it, partially because of Jolie's direction, partially just because of the way that the film is put together. But I am glad that it exists. It's so deeply sad as a movie that it's hard to sit through. Both in it's really good, well, it's really well made, and also it doesn't hit you in the same emotional spot that a movie would if it had some kind of levity to it. I compared it to Beasts of No Nation earlier. It's not as good as that film. But it does have merit to it. I'm going to rate it lower than some of the films that we reviewed, but this is easily one of the more important things we've had the opportunity to talk about on this podcast.
The privilege, David.
The privilege to talk about. I will give First They Killed My Father, A Daughter of Cambodia Remembers, 6 out of 10 times that iTunes... or the times that my iPhone erroneously said, directed by Angelina Jolie Pitt, and that I remembered what happened in the past.
Okay. This movie is a roller coaster of emotions, but it's not a fun roller coaster. It's one of those roller coasters that you're scared to get on because you know you're not going to have a good time.
Yeah.
And you're going down the hill, and you're going down the hill, and it's speeding up, and it's speeding up, and you know that you're going to live. You know that it's going to end.
Yeah.
But you're not having fun while you're on it.
No.
And you just hold your breath and you wait for it to be over. Now, that sounds like I'm shitting on it. I am not. I'm just trying to emphasize the fact that if you don't want to be sad, don't watch this movie.
Yeah.
But if you want to learn something about the world's history outside of America, which, in all honesty, American history is very... milquetoast compared to the rest of the world.
Yeah.
You know, we started the Western civilization and we're still in that era of Western civilization in which there's not a lot of bad things happening. There's horrible things happening around the world and even in our own country, but none of it is anywhere near what it was, you know, once upon a history time ago. And this is a very bleak movie.
Yeah.
It's so well made and so important that I can't knock it, and I don't want to knock it, and I also didn't cry. I thought I would.
Yeah.
So because of that, you know, usually I start with movies as a 5, and then I kind of go up and down from there. I'm going to start this movie at a 10, because it's so important, and that's what I find to be the biggest thing about it. But because it's not fun, it loses some points, and because it's just kind of, it loses its luster every now and then. It very quickly gets back on its feet.
Yeah.
But there are times where you're just like, wait a minute, she was there, but now she's here. She lost her brother, but there he is. So, huh. But I'm going to give it a not enthusiastic, but a very, you should watch this, 8 out of 10 grains of rice. Which is not very much, because they weren't fed very much, because they were starving.
They were. Boom.
Yep. So yeah, that was our review of First They Killed My Father. I don't know why you keep adding that end to it, because that's not what the title is on...
I mean, that's like the official title, is First They Killed My Father, A Daughter of Cambodia Remembers.
Okay, that's the book's title, but this is a movie, motherfucker.
When you look on IMDb, it says the full title is there.
Well, when you look on Wikipedia, it says that you're a dumb bitch. Boom. That was our review. It was a very short episode today. I wish we had more to talk about, but we will be back hopefully next week.
We'll review something.
Something as per usual. You know what? Maybe we'll finally get around to Joe Dirt 2 and make London not feel so sad. Just kidding.
No, we'll definitely figure something else to do.
Thank you for joining us. I have nothing to plug. You can follow me on Twitter, TJ Calls Bullshit, or Facebook, Mr.Hooker711. Davey.
You can find me on Twitter at Davey Peppers. You can find me on Instagram at TheDaveyPeppers. And as always, you can find the work of TJ and myself and many of the other wonderful interns and also the wonderful regulars on oneofus.net, and you should definitely subscribe for more wonderful content.
Speaking of oneofus.net, I got to review a movie that was at TIFF, which I don't think you got to see.
Which one?
It was called Against the Night.
Huh.
It was at TIFF, and you probably wouldn't have heard about it. Now, I was asked to review it on the site in written form.
Okay.
And I was very in contact with the rep throughout that time, because I was talking to her off and on. I was trying to get stills and stuff, and she was very interested in my opinion. So I sold out and gave a not... I'm not going to say I get it. I never once in the article said the movie was good, but I also never once said the movie was bad. I am very proud of myself for this review, because I made this movie sound like they gave a shit, and they didn't. So you should definitely check out my Against the Night review, and when you do, know that I did not like the movie, even though it seems like I'm praising it.
Good to know.
But I'm actually proud of my writing, because I had everything I said about the movie was true, and yet never wrote enough bullshit to make it so I never had to say it was bad.
Classic.
But yeah, so check out that review. It will be entertaining you more than the actual movie. I'm TJ.
I'm Davey.
And that was it. We'll see y'all later. Bye.
Goodbye.
OneOfUs.net has been your one-stop shop for all things geek for years. But there's a side to them many of you have never heard. The subscription side. Subscribe and listen to great podcasts like The Breakfast Pub, The Original Gentleman, and the Watch a Movie With Us series. Head on over to OneOfUs.net and don't forget your towel.